Thanks, Maddie. Morning. I saw Karen. She'd been traveling all over the place in the last few weeks. So good to see Karen. We also had someone had an 80th birthday this week. 84 for John Holmes. Turned 80. Well done. And so we had a few major things on during the week. I'm going to put a slide up and ask, I wonder if this brings back memories for anyone in Perth. So if you grew up in Perth, you probably remember this. Next one. Anyone remember that? What's all that about? I grew up in New South Wales. I only came to Perth in my early 20s and came into this. This is petrol rostering. Young people might not believe that, but up until the mid-90s in Perth, you could not get petrol after 6 p.m. at night at most petrol stations, and you could not get it after 12 on Sunday, Saturday and on Sundays. And so if you wanted petrol outside those times, which are pretty restrictive, you would have to go to a petrol station and you would have to look at the roster. And there was a roster for every zone in Perth would have one petrol station. You would have to go and get that petrol. So you wind down the window. Remember, none of this push button stuff. You wind down the window and you look at the roster and you say, I wonder where the roster is. Then you get out your Google. Oh, hang on, no Google Maps. You'd have a street directory in your glove box, and you would find where the petrol station was, and then you'd drive the 5 or 10 kilometres to get there, hoping you had enough petrol. Anyone remember that? It's not that long ago, is it? This is only less than 30 years ago this was the case. I think it was 1995 they stopped the rostering system. Amazing. It's not like that today, is it? It's like 24/7. We live 24/7. You go anytime you like. There's petrol available. There's food available most days of the week, day or night. Why were we like that? It was because as a society, we kind of had a Sabbath reality. This idea of having a day off. Most people didn't work Sundays. Most people kind of almost had half Saturday off too. Some people even had 2 days off. Shops were closed. Petrol stations were closed. Even the pub. You had to go 20 miles, literally 20 miles from Perth in order to get alcohol on a Sunday. Up until 1970, then the hotels could open. So as a society, we had this idea of Sabbath. People would have a day off. Things would kind of slow down and stop. Even if it wasn't a religious thing, it was like this Sabbath thing we had as a society. People stopped work, things slowed down, kind of had a form of Sabbath about the way we ran things. And it's not like that now. It's 24/7. It's 7 days a week. This is only less than 30 years ago. We have changed a complete reality about how we run our society in less than a generation. It doesn't seem relevant today. We operate 7 days a week, 24/7. You go get fuel whenever you like. We're increasingly becoming a society without Sabbath. Something's changed in just a generation or less than a generation. Tell you a story about this guy. This is Jehoshua Gross. He was a guy who took the Sabbath seriously. He's a Jewish guy. He was determined to keep the Sabbath holy at any cost. So one day, 27-year-old devout Jew from London, he's running late to make it home before sundown when the Sabbath begins for the Jews. That's when he starts worship. He needs to be home in order to start his meal and all this. So he has a choice. He's got to get home quickly to keep the Sabbath, but he could not keep the Sabbath and keep the speed limit. Okay, so life presents us with these sort of dilemmas, right? You can obey one law, but in order to obey this law, you've got to disobey the other law. So he chose to keep the Sabbath and not the speed limit. So he's speeding down the freeway, and the report said, for prolonged periods. He crashes into the back of a truck, but this does not prevent him from continuing. He backs out of that accident, speeds off again. He was seen driving down the footpath around other vehicles. Some parts of his car even fell off on the way before he was another driver informed the police, and he was arrested and fined $500, banned from driving for 15 months. Dangerous driving. But he just wanted to keep Sabbath, right? He couldn't keep the Sabbath and the speed limit at the same time. So he made a choice. and he justified the choice he made. He took the actions he did. The Sabbath's important, right? It's God's law. You have to keep it, right? Speed limit is just a human thing, after all. Now, I think most of us would think on that scenario, he probably made the wrong choice. He's trying to keep the Sabbath wasn't very helpful, especially for the people whose lives he put at risk when he was speeding down the freeway. Now, this story, and it is a true story, raises the issue, how does God want people to keep Sabbath? Is it important? And what if we're in a situation where there's other important things and it's kind of a trade-off about these things? Which is the higher law? What's most important? I want to talk about Sabbath today. And I want to go into Luke's gospel, another encounter with Jesus. This time Jesus is encountering the religious leaders. Okay, so Luke 6, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands and eat the kernels. Kind of like, you know, get some wheat or something before it gets hard. Some of the Pharisees asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now this issue, what is lawful? This comes up a lot with the Jewish leaders. Jesus encounters them and that's the question they're asking. Why are you doing what is unlawful? It's a big deal for them. They were just getting a snack. Grab a handful of grain, rub off the outer bits so you get the kernels. Most of us have probably done that, especially if you're in the country. You would have done that. And so you're doing your threshing, your winnowing, your reaping. In the harvest, you do that in the big way, right? You get all the grain and then you're just doing that in your hand. So the Pharisees were saying, that's work. Clearly you are harvesting and so that's got to be work. You're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. That's breaking the Sabbath command according to them. So why were they so full on? Why were they so full on about this? You've got to understand some of the history. Okay. If you put the word Sabbath and death into your Bible program, you'll come up with several verses. Okay, they're connected. Okay, Exodus 31 says this, "Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people." It's pretty serious stuff. Numbers 15, "While the Israelites were in the wilderness, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly. And they kept him in custody because it was not clear what should be done to him. The Lord said to Moses, 'The man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp.' So the assembly took him outside the camp, stoned him to death as the Lord commanded." Whoa, that's pretty full-on stuff. Serious business this Sabbath. You could die if you didn't get it right or if you violated the Sabbath. Kind of makes you have second thoughts about doing a bit of gardening, doesn't it, this afternoon? And the Pharisees, you got to know who they are. They are descendants of the holiness movement that came about in Israel. After Israel were exiled, so they were sent away from their land, they came into the promised land. Later on, they were exiled from their land. And so they were exiled because they broke God's law. And so these guys said, we don't want to be exiled. We want to go back into the land. We better make sure that we obey the law. That's the motivation. We've got to keep ourselves pure from any foreign influence, the Greeks, the Romans over history, because if we get sucked into that stuff, we'll disobey God. We'll never get back into the promised land and God will probably exile us even if we do. So they didn't want to compromise their faith, their Jewish faith, with the stuff that was going on around them. They wanted to be holy, and part of that was the Sabbath. That was a Jewish distinctive. So the Sabbath said, don't work. So they started to ask the question, what does it mean to work? What's allowed on the Sabbath? They started to write it down, what was and wasn't work. And they came up with this. Check this out. And if you've done chemistry, you'll think that's, what's that? Looks like a periodic table of the elements, doesn't it? That's the rules about Sabbath keeping that kind of evolved, and they've got all the colours represent different aspects of life. Each little thing represents a particular action you can't do. That's what they come up with. This is a bit later, but it's all working into something like this. housework, agriculture, working with fabric, reading, writing, caring, lighting fires, all these things you need to think about if you're living in a pre-industrial society. You've got to have it all sorted, right, so you don't break the Sabbath. There are specific things classified as work which you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. If you did them, you would be breaking the Sabbath. Very specific, very focused, very nutting out all the details. Just to let you know, you could write one letter, but not two. You could rub out one letter, but not two, otherwise you'd be breaking the Sabbath. It was that specific. This is pretty full on, right? Pretty full on attempt to define what it meant to keep the Sabbath. Now, why did they do it? They're living in a pagan culture. They want to maintain their faith and their Jewish distinctiveness. They know they were exiled because they broke the law. So they said, we're not going to break the law. We're going to make sure we do everything right. That's what all this came out of. They didn't want to lose their Jewishness. Let's get this right. What is God like? God is into details. So we can't make any mistakes. You've got no excuses. It's all there. This is what the Sabbath is all about. That's why they were so focused on the question, what is lawful? What is allowed? What does this God allow? What is right? How does God want us to live? And if Jesus is going to be taken seriously as a leader, as a teacher in Israel, he's got to make sure that he doesn't do any of this stuff. He has to toe the party line. So here's the question, what is lawful on the Sabbath? The Pharisees see the disciples picking and rubbing the grain and eating it. And the dark green area up the top, that specifically says you can't reap, you can't winnow, you can't thresh, which is kind of what they're doing with their hands. So according to this table, they are breaking the Sabbath law and liable to punishment. And if Jesus allows them to do that, he's going to be caught in this breaker of the Sabbath, not a serious religious teacher thing. So the question, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus is going to give them an answer to that question. That's the question they ask. Now he's going to give them an answer. And as often with Jesus, he often doesn't answer the question directly. He answers a question in a way that really focuses on another question. What is God like? What is important to God? So here's how Jesus responds. Jesus answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." So here's the answer. That's not the answer they were expecting. He doesn't try and say, no, this isn't breaking the Sabbath. He doesn't try and prove it to them. He isn't going to get into an argument about the details. He's not arguing with the Pharisees about the Sabbath legalities. That's not where he goes with it. He goes back to the Old Testament, back to the story of David. So here's the example from the life of David, Israel's beloved king. And in this example, David clearly disobeys the law. He breaks the rule of eating the bread from the temple. Only the priests were allowed to eat that. David goes in there, he grabs it and he gives it to his men, clearly violating the Old Testament law. David does the wrong thing according to these rules. But the Pharisees aren't upset with David because he's their beloved king. So they're giving him a pass on this, but they won't give Jesus a pass on this. They're not going to cancel David for doing this. They're ready to cancel Jesus. The Pharisees haven't rejected David as their king or their ancestor because he did these things. This is part of the Old Testament story, and David clearly disobeys the law. He disobeys quite a few other commandments as well, but he's still the chosen king and they still recognize him. So really, Jesus is saying, here's an example. David is in the same situation. Nobody condemns him. Nobody rebukes him. There's no punishment for David because of what he's done. And in fact, you go through the Bible, there are many examples of people who break the Sabbath. In Matthew's gospel, there's another example. He puts a little bit extra in and he says, the priests on the Sabbath, they desecrate the day. They're working. How come they get a pass? Clearly they do. Because they're helping people worship God. Helping people worship God is a higher law than the Sabbath law, apparently. So you have these two laws. You choose which law is the most important, which is the higher law. We face these decisions all the time. It's not simple, it's complex, and you've got to say, which is most important? What does God most require of us? Like that guy in the car, you know, putting people's lives or not putting them at risk, I think is more important than getting home so you can have your Sabbath. One law is higher than the other law. We face these things all the time. In Mark's gospel, it says, the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. The implication, if we have a need, David and his men were hungry. They went and ate the temple bread, and that's okay. Because the need of the people came before the law not to eat the stuff. And if necessary, do it on the Sabbath or even redirect the temple resources for this need. That's okay. One law is higher than the other. So when they come into conflict, you choose the most important reality. So Jesus is putting things back in their right priority. People made in the image of God, that's why the law exists. People aren't made for the law. The law is made for the sake of people. People aren't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is made for people. Looking after the needs of people is a higher law than the Sabbath law. So break the Sabbath to meet the needs of people, which is essentially what's happening in that episode. That's the order of priority. But what about the stories in the Old Testament where the Sabbath breakers are put to death? Now, those stories have a point. Sabbath is important. Really what Sabbath does is links us into the creative reality of God. You go back to the creation story and it says, in 7 days God made the world, then he rested. The Sabbath links us back into God as the creator. That's what the Sabbath is doing. It's linking us back into that reality. Keeping Sabbath is recognizing God is the creator of all things. I recognize that when I keep Sabbath. Our lives are not independent from God. We don't live apart from God. We are made by God. We are completely dependent. We are contingent on him. So keep Sabbath, but keep God at the center. That's the thing. Don't let money and work and all that stuff distract you from God being at the center of your life. God is your provider. Living Sabbath helps you understand and link you back into that reality. It's something to remind us who we are and how we're made and that God is at the center. Deuteronomy, the command is different in the second set of Ten Commandments. You know, in Exodus, the Ten Commandments, the one on the Sabbath says, remember the Sabbath, because in 6 days, 6 days the Lord made the seventh when he rested. That's the Exodus command. In Deuteronomy, it changes. It says, remember the Sabbath because you were slaves in Egypt. You've been a slave. You know what it's like to have to live in a harsh regime? Therefore, live the Sabbath. Make sure the people who work for you have a day off. Because you know what it's like to be under somebody who's harsh. Don't do that for the people who you work with. So that Deuteronomy is a different Sabbath rule than Exodus. Different time, different reality. The Sabbath in Deuteronomy is about economic justice. It's about treating people fairly. You can't make your workers enslaved, but your workers nowadays, don't make them work 7 days a week. You don't own them. They're not yours. They belong to God. Treat everybody as if they're made in the image of God, which they are. Provide them with reasonable conditions. This is the whole basis of the union movement in our society. Having to give workers reasonable time off and conditions stems from the Sabbath principle in Deuteronomy. So here's the Pharisees. They've got a legalistic approach. They want to obey the law, but they've lost the heart of God. They don't reflect the heart of God. Law was more important than people for them. Loving God meant obeying the law to the letter. That's a very simplistic and legalistic way of living out what they thought God wanted them to do. And through history, people have suffered because of that. People have forgotten, often religious people, it's people that matter to God. The law is for people. It's not the other way around. Hunger matters. Relieving hunger, healing the sick, restoring people, giving fair conditions, These are weightier or more important parts of the law than what you do on the Sabbath day. They take precedence over this simplistic reading of what the Bible says. Life is going to present us with many dilemmas like this. We're going to have to make a choice. We're regularly going to have to choose which law is more important. What does God think about this reality? And if you take a simplistic understanding, it's not going to actually, you're not going to come up with God's heart. Sometimes we have to neglect or lessen the lesser part of the law in order to fulfill the more important part. So Jesus reframing their approach to the law. He's giving them a different lens through which to see God. God is not the nitpicky thing that you thought God was. He's not this small, every detail has got to be, you know, in the universe, at the center of the universe, getting all the details right. Oh, you've got the details wrong, I'm going to smite you. That's not the God of Israel. That's not the God who created all things. At the core of the universe, that's not God. That's not who is there. God gave the law, but God is not a legalist. That's not an accurate perception of God. The law is not God. There are different elements of the law. There are moral law, civil law, ceremonial law. Life is regularly going to present us with different aspects of which part of the law is the important one to enact at this time. What is, when we talk about how do we do that, how we pull all these things together, that's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing how to take all this stuff and live according to God's heart in this world. So he's reframing it. He's giving them a different lens. How to discern the way forward. It's probably not a single command that's going to get you there. It's probably the wisdom of seeing what is God's heart in this situation and for the people that I'm dealing with at the moment. And then he takes things to another level. Just after this, see the last verse? Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. So who is the Son of Man? This is back in the book of Daniel. The Son of Man is the one who's taken before the Ancient of Days, presented to him and given authority over all nations, over the whole world. Jesus is the Son of Man. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's Lord of everything. There's something more going on here than just what you do on a Sabbath. You guys are focused on whether or not, you know, rubbing a few things of grain together constitutes work. Something much bigger is happening here. You're standing before the Son of Man. You're standing before the one who's going to rule all nations. The one who's going to call the dead back to life. The judge of all people. And you're worried about whether rubbing some grain together is work. Guys, get your priorities right. I'm the one who made all things. The one who will be given authority over all things. I've got authority over the Sabbath, over the law, and I'm reframing it for you. If we go to the Sermon on the Mount, there's a similar reality. Jesus several times said, you've heard that it was said. In other words, he's saying, go back in the Old Testament. These things were said. He doesn't discount their legitimacy. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery and all sorts of things like that. But then he says, but I say to you. He's claiming to have the authority to interpret the law, the word of God. He's the one saying, but I'm telling you now, and he reframes it. He's the one who gets to say what's important and what's not important. What's God looking for? We say, don't murder, of course. But God wants to transform our hearts so we don't hate others. So we're not angry with our brother and sister. That's what the law is getting at, to transform us, not just to stop us from killing people. Don't commit adultery, but I say to you, don't even look with lust upon a person. It's a different standard. He raises the standard because he wants to get to the heart. God's intention in the Ten Commandments, according to Jesus, they do inform us about what's right and wrong, but it's the transformation that God wants to bring so that no longer do we even want to do any of that stuff that's forbidden. It's what's happening on the inside. That's what it's about. The law was only ever meant to inform us about what righteousness was. It didn't and couldn't actually change your heart. It doesn't do that. In the Old Testament, the prophecies were there was a time coming, the law would not be written on tablets of stone anymore. It wasn't, or even on pieces of paper. That's not what it's about. It's not about an external law. The law would be written on the heart. I would put my spirit in you, and I will cause you really to want to do the will of God. It's about what God does on the inside, not what comes from on the outside. The outside stuff gives us guidance and tells us, but it doesn't provide the power that has to come from God's presence through the Holy Spirit. With Jesus, that time has arrived or is soon arriving. He reframes the law, putting it back in its right place, letting us know what is really important to God. The Son of Man, Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. He's over all this stuff. He's got the right to define what's important, what's not important. God doesn't really care about whether you're rubbing your hands together to get some grain, but he really does care about being the center of your life. He really does care about how you treat people. He really cares about you being the salt and light for the world. That's what the stuff that God cares about. I was talking to someone this week and they were saying how they were helping a parent, and the child in this family, the child was estranged from them. The child had actually run away. Good church people. And the story came out, they had a Bible study every night at dinner time. So they bring out the Bible, and this sounds really good, right? Have a Bible study, read the Bible for dinner. Sounds really good. But the actual reality was it was a lecture from the parent to the child about how they should not do this, 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 and this. And the child became so overwhelmed, they said, I need some space. I just got to get away. That's the wrong use of the law. Pretty soon, you can imagine, it crushes people when they're just told, this is right, don't do this. It doesn't do what God wants to happen with the law. When it's used legalistically, the law doesn't help people do right. It actually drives them away. Do you realize that? You know, there's Christian homes and churches have been plagued by this use of the law through history. Harsh. When the law is used incorrectly, it actually produces sin. That's what the New Testament tells us. It produces sin in us. Not because it's bad, because there's something in us that rails against it. A good thing can produce sin in us if we use it wrongly. Ever notice that people don't like being told what to do? It gets their back up. And when that happens, the law, when we're forcing it on people, we're not helping them. We're actually causing them to get their back up. They're more likely just to say, I'm off. I'm out of here. I don't want to listen to this. The law's meant to give freedom. Sabbath was meant to be a delight, not a drudgery. It's meant to be a day of rest and recreation. Set you free from all the other demands you have during the week. So you can say, I'm going to take some time off. Your freedom, you got freedom to connect with God, freedom to spend time with loved ones, freedom to be part of creation, you know, enjoy stuff. In the time of Jesus, the Jewish leaders had turned the Sabbath, something good thing, into a real drag. It was about legalism. It was about having to do this, that, and the other. So Jesus is reframing all this, the Sabbath, but the law generally. A bit different for us today. You know, the petrol rosters. We're living in a society that really is we're jettisoning Sabbath. We're getting rid of it. We don't do it anymore. Our society doesn't have a Sabbath. We're in danger of becoming a society that never stops. We never reflect. We never take time out. In that sort of a society, Sabbath, like, we really need to kind of increase its accessibility to people. Maybe it's time to recapture and explore it again. When did you last have a day of rest? Have a think about that. Our society pushes us. We just run and run and run. When did you last have an unhurried day, free from work, free from getting more money, buying stuff? We've lost the art of Sabbath as a society, I think. So against that background, Sabbath needed correction to the Jewish people. And I think it probably needs correction today in the opposite way. Jesus envisages the Sabbath as freedom. Okay, in this section, there's another story. We'll quickly go through this second story, which is just after it. So on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue. He was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Get up and stand in front of everyone." So he got up and stood there. Now, in this time, they're a bit nastier, the Pharisees, the leaders. So they're watching him closely to see whether or not he's going to heal. So they think he might heal. And the attitude is not, and I think the attitude should be, wow, Jesus might heal someone. Wouldn't it be great to see someone healed? Wouldn't you think that would be the attitude? Jesus is going to heal someone. Isn't that great? Hallelujah. Can't wait to see the miracle. But instead, the attitude is, let's watch him. If he heals, we'll got him as a Sabbath breaker. Completely different perspectives. They don't care about this guy. They couldn't give a stuff about this guy. All they're concerned about is whether their legalistic standards get met. What is the image of God? It's not a compassionate, gracious, kind God. It's a God who says, you've got to get all your rules right. If you don't do that, you're finished. They've got God and the Sabbath so wrong. Okay, what does Jesus say? Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? So you guys are so interested in what is lawful, but is saving life against the law? Is doing good against the law? The assumption's obvious. In Matthew's gospel, he adds a bit. He specifically says, if a sheep falls into a well, won't you grab it and get it out? It's assumed you'll do that. You'll do good on the Sabbath. Of course you will in some ways. You'll do work to help someone or help a sheep, but they were not even wanting this guy to get healed. Here's a guy with a disability. Is that inappropriate that he would be healed on the Sabbath? And the final part of the story. He looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. He did this and his hand was completely restored. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. So Jesus heals him. He's restored. This is perfect Sabbath stuff. This is bringing rest and freedom to someone. Isn't that what the Sabbath is about? In Mark's gospel, a little bit extra in Mark's gospel, we're told before he announces the healing, it says this, he looked at them in anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Jesus is angry at them for the way they've taken the Sabbath. They don't care about the person. They've made the law more important than the person. And then the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they get angry with Jesus. They're furious. They begin to discuss what they might do to him. And in Mark, it's more specific. It says they began to plot how to destroy him. Mark chapter 3, already in Mark chapter 3, right at the start, they're already planning to kill him because of this sort of thing. Because Jesus was saying, you've got God wrong. God is not into this legalistic stuff. He wants to help people. He wants to bless people. The fruit of their thinking, they believed in a God who was all into details of religion. God really cares about what you do on the Sabbath. There's lots of rules and regulations. Their vision of God, that's what they could get a handle on, this God. We can control this God and we can use this God to control others. We define the Sabbath. You do it our way. Otherwise, we're going to kick you out. And we're the religious police. We make sure you do it our way. Now, some people have accused Christians, right, of being the people against everything. Isn't it sad if that's what the church is known for, that we are the ones against things? The Pharisees were known, they weren't known because they were against things. They were not known for compassion, mercy, grace, doing good for others. They were just negative. How sad if that's what we're known for. We have to be careful, I think, in our families, our society, at work. We're not the naysayers. We're not always the people saying, this is wrong, that's wrong, fix this. We're meant to be life givers, bringing grace and mercy into people's lives. Jesus had a different focus than the Pharisees. His God, his Father, cares about people. He wants to see people healed and restored. He wants to see people fed and looked after. And what better time to do that than the Sabbath? If we understand this God, who he is, what his kingdom is, his reign is a reign of goodness and mercy and healing, then the Sabbath, let's focus on this good God and on his kingdom, appreciating grace and forgiveness that he has for us, and then extending that to others who we meet. The Sabbath is a time, let go of the striving, let go of trying to fix it all yourself. Relax, connect with the real God, the creator of all things, who not only provides for all of our needs, including our spiritual needs, but wants us to be then the channel of that into people's lives. Offer grace and mercy to others. It's okay to interrupt your Sabbath to help someone. It's okay to work for the benefit of others. And of course, this is not just the Sabbath, is it? The Sabbath is meant to be the day we focus on, but the point is that that would then spill out into the rest of our week. We practice freedom on the Sabbath so that that freedom then becomes the lifestyle we live all the time. Let's pray. It just seems, Lord, when we read these stories, it seems so stark, the attitude of the Pharisees. Didn't care about the people at all, just wanted to get things, all the details right. Lord, I thank you that you didn't succumb to that. You still did the will of the Father on the Sabbath. You healed, you restored people, regardless of what the naysayers said. Help us, Lord, practice Sabbath. In a world that's 24/7 and we just get pushed and pushed and pushed, I pray we'd find spaces to rest, to focus, to be refreshed. And Lord, guide us. How is that meant to spill out into the rest of our lives? Your goodness and your mercy, connected to you as our Creator, giving justice to others. Lord, thank you. You said that one day the Spirit would come and would write the law on our hearts. Lord, grant that we would be fully surrendered to you, that we would know that law written in our hearts, Lord, to have wisdom day by day to live your will and purpose in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, with our friends, everywhere we go. You would fill us. And we would leak and bless others. Thank you for your goodness. Guide us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for attending today.